Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. It's Tuesday, the 10th of May. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we've been preaching through 1 John. We can't cover all the details in those sermons, so these podcasts have a bit more information. We're up to chapter 5, and today we're going to read just verse 13. It reads, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." John is so concerned that his readers really do know that they have eternal life, that it is a settled conviction in them, and we're going to look on more in verse 14 about that tomorrow. He has the same aim as when he was writing his gospel in John chapter 20, verse 31. "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And of course he's talking there about eternal life, the redeemed life. The summation of all the knowledge mentioned in this letter of 1 John is that they will know that they are saved. Knowledge is a very important theme. The false teachers are claiming to have a higher knowledge, and through that higher knowledge, they will attain salvation. This is more important than Jesus Christ, than believing that he was the Son of God. John is having none of that. It's so important to him that people have the correct knowledge about the Son of God that that's why he wrote his whole letter. Nothing is more significant to this elder than knowing that his little children know that they have eternal life in Christ. He emphasizes here the name of the Son of God. It's the only place in the letter where the writer speaks of believing in the name of Jesus, in other words, his full person, in all that his name stands for. There's some similar wording in 1 John 3, verse 23. This is his command to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The Greek means believe the name. In the name of God is important in the Old Testament. In Psalm 20, verse 7, for example, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." At the triumphal entry to Jerusalem, the crowds acclaim Jesus as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew 21, verse 9. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And after his resurrection, Jesus reminds his followers that they are to go and make disciples and baptize in his name. Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So the Bible, the Old Testament, is replete with examples of people believing in something in the name of the Lord. The prophets came, and just as they spoke in the name of the Lord, and when they did that, they were to be listened to, and their message was to be obeyed. So now we are to have the same attitude towards Jesus. If a prophet was not listened to as he spoke in the name of the Lord, then there were severe consequences for the individual or for the people of Israel. How much more, now that God has sent his Son, if we do not listen to his words and obey them, we cannot expect to be treated with any less severity than the people of Israel. We must believe in the name of the Son of God, and this is more than a belief in a name. It's a belief in who he is as Son of God and his authority. That's why, again, going back to Matthew 28, he emphasizes the fact that he's been given all authority in heaven and earth. His name, who he is, now gives him authority. And it also can give us confidence in us having eternal life. And if we believe in the name, if we accept all of who and what Jesus is, then we have confidence in having eternal life. That is something to hold on to today. We'll go on to verse 14 tomorrow. If you'd like to know more about our church work or get in touch with me, you can via our website, nwlcc.org. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.